I'd like to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. And I'll be reading tonight from verse number 1 down to verse number 9. The Bible says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, and will increase learning, and the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have to hear from you. We thank you for how you're using it to work in our hearts and to draw us to yourself. We thank you for the privilege to pray to you, and know as you speak to us that we'll have listening ears and receptive hearts. Thank you once again for each one here tonight. Continue to bless, and may you meet needs. May you draw each one to yourself, and may you be honored and glorified through everything that takes place. Give me the words you'll have me to say, and may they be your words and not mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight I have in my hand this little device, which is a portable hard drive. These devices have become very common these days, and they allow you to be able to take information from one computer to another very easily. Now, within this portable hard drive is considered data. It stores information. And this information is measured in what is called today in our computer world, our technological world, as bytes. Bytes. B-Y-T-E-S. These bytes are so small in nature in terms of the information that is stored that we don't even use that word much. We've used words that combined prefixes with that word, so you would be more familiar with hearing the word megabytes, gigabytes, and even now today, terabytes and beyond. And so these devices assist us in being able to transport data from one place to another. Now, if you were to open up this device or break it open or remove the cover and look inside, all of a sudden you will not see data and information pouring out of it. Obviously not. This data, truth be told, is stored in these devices by microscopic switches, truly, which are either turn on or off. And so there are millions and millions of, as it were, little microscopic switches. And so this device, while it contains data, in and of itself is pretty meaningless. Unless this device, which stores tons and tons of data, is connected to what is called a processor. And a processor is a small chip that resides in a computer and other electronic devices, and its basic job is to receive input and to provide appropriate output. So in and of itself, this device that I have in my hand means very little unless it's connected to another device that can actually process, or another word that we use, read the data that is stored on here. It processes that data and transforms it into a form in which it makes sense to us so that we can read it. It can be displayed on a screen. It can be printed on a printer in paper in a manner that makes sense to you and me. You know, we are living in a world where information is readily available at our fingertips. So much so that this time and this age in which we live, it is called the information age. It is a time where accessibility and availability to information, it is at its greatest levels, more than any other time in human history. I know young people must take it for granted that you can be in your rooms and at home, and you can click on a device at the touch of a button or the move of your finger, and you can have access to the largest libraries around the world. You can know what's happening all the way around the world, all over the world. The latest news is just right there. And sometimes this information is so overwhelming that the challenge is sifting and sorting through it to actually get what you really need. How many times have you done a search on Google, and there's so many searches that you cannot find what you want? Too much information. I give this analogy here tonight because we're living in a world where we are inundated with information, but paradoxically, we are living in a world where there's so little wisdom. You see, wisdom, information, and even knowledge are very different. Without the ability to process information and arrive at the proper conclusion, we are like a memory stick. We are like a portable hard drive who has been consumed with information, but the inability to be able to process it to come to the right conclusion. Wisdom is so very, very, very important. Wisdom determines whether we will be successful in this life. You look around and you hear of cases of suicide. You look at situations where families are struggling, marriages are on the rocks. So many situations are causing people to be in despair because there is so much information but not the correct approach to processing this information by way of wisdom. Over the next several weeks, I want us to be able to spend some time in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book that was written by Solomon, King Solomon, the son of David, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and it is filled with words of wisdom. And I want us to be able to, each and every week, as God will lead over the, as I mentioned, the next several weeks, to be able to take a proverb and look at it and see what God is saying to us. We need wisdom, amen? Now, make no mistake, the entire Word of God is filled with wisdom. But this book that God has given to us by way of Proverbs places a specific emphasis and a premium on acquiring wisdom and having wisdom, because wisdom, it says in a later chapter, is the principal thing. And so we want to be able to do that and pray that God would help us in the days ahead as we seek the desire to have wisdom. In the first 9 verses which we look at tonight, I want you to notice, as we really set the table, so to speak, on this series that I've entitled Wisdom from the Word, the author here sets the stage for this entire book as it relates to wisdom. And we want to be able to examine a few things here tonight, and then next week we will take a proverb. Most times it will constitute one verse, or it may constitute two verses, but it won't be a long passage of scripture, but certainly nuggets in the Word of God as we seek to grow in grace and knowledge and in the wisdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice in verse number 2 to verse number 4, first of all, the prayer for wisdom. The prayer for wisdom. He writes here in verse number 2 and he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. This verse here, as it relates to his prayer, the writer Solomon, it's as if he's saying, there's an invitation for wisdom. The key word here in this verse, he says, to know wisdom. To know wisdom. Now, when a guy sees a young lady for the first time, he's never seen her before, and somehow something processes in his mind and he's drawn to her. We sometimes use the word attracted in for want of maybe a better word or a different word to her in some way. His mind begins to go into motion, and he's now trying to process or to seek a way as to how is he going to get a chance to initiate a conversation. The reason why he wants to initiate a conversation of some sort is because his eyes has seen someone who he doesn't know, has never seen before, but his desire is to get to know her. So he looks for an opportunity. Here in this verse, the writer Solomon says, to know wisdom. And so the implication here, the context here is that wisdom at the onset is somehow foreign to him. He doesn't know it really that well, but it looks appealing, and you know what? I want to get to know wisdom. To know wisdom. And so there is here in this prayer, there's an invitation for wisdom. He says, wisdom, I want to know her. An instruction to perceive the words of understanding. But notice, this prayer continues in verse 3. He says, I don't only want there to be an invitation to wisdom, but I want to increase in wisdom. He says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. The understanding here is that not only do I want to know, but I want to grow. I want to increase in wisdom. I want to, this is a continuous process. So he says, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Now, this word here, receive, has with it a meaning of a continuous process. I want to continue to receive it time and time again. The prayer here is for an increase in wisdom. It's for an invitation for wisdom. But I want you to notice this prayer continues, and the writer Solomon says, I also want to impart wisdom. Look at what he says in verse number 4. He says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Notice these three verses each begin with the word to. The first one says to know wisdom. That's the invitation for wisdom. He wants an audience with wisdom. Verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. This is to increase in wisdom, to grow in wisdom. But verse number 4, he says to give. The understanding here as it relates to wisdom is that when I have wisdom, I want others to have it as well. Amen? Understand very importantly as it relates to wisdom, when you think of wisdom, the desire is not just to accumulate it as a treasure. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Amen? So when you have wisdom, there's a desire to impart it to others. As a matter of fact, if someone suggests that I have wisdom, but they don't impart it, that mindset indicates that that person is not as wise as they think. They are short-circuiting the process of wisdom, because wisdom ought to be imparted. Amen? And this is the Solomon's prayer for wisdom. It is comprised of an invitation. I want an audience. I want to know wisdom. Would to God that that people would crave and seek after wisdom like they seek after a relationship with someone of the opposite sex. He says, I want to increase in wisdom. But I want to do so that I can impart wisdom. That's his prayer for wisdom in verses 2, 3, and 4. But I want you to notice, secondly, not only the prayer for wisdom, but notice the progression of wisdom. The progression of wisdom. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, a wise man will hear. Now, the progression for wisdom, first of all, begins with an appetite. An appetite. The Bible says here, a wise man will hear. Why will this wise man hear? This wise man wants to hear because he has a desire for wisdom. He has an appetite. He has a craving for wisdom. Now, obviously, as a man, I have never been physically pregnant. Even though they say when you're married, when your wife gets pregnant, that you are considered pregnant as well. Anybody ever heard that? All right? But physically speaking, I guess you don't experience the same bodily changes, obviously. And somehow, it appears as though you also don't experience the same cravings. And again, I'm speaking from a position of not in-depth knowledge and experience here. But I can say this because obviously I have two children. But when wives and when ladies get pregnant, apparently certain cravings take over. Am I right? And these, a man said that's right. And you know why he says that? That's right. Because when the cravings take over, the husband has to go fetch it from whatever part of the world it exists. And these cravings are very specific. It's amazing. It's not a craving for food. It's a craving for a particular food that sometimes the wife has never had a craving for before. I can't explain it. Wow, amazingly. Sympathetic pregnancy, wow. But there's an appetite that arises from somewhere. And great lengths have to be gone through to acquire this particular thing. It's a craving. But the writer here is saying a wise man will hear. Why? Because he has a craving. He has a desire for wisdom. There's a story about a proud young man who came to the philosopher Socrates asking for knowledge. He walked up to the muscular philosopher and said, "Oh, great Socrates, I come to you for knowledge." Socrates recognized a pompous numbskull when he saw one. He led the young man through the streets to the sea and chest deep into the water, and then he asked, "What do you want?" "Knowledge, oh wise Socrates," said the man with a young smile. Socrates put his strong hands on the man's shoulder and pushed him under. 30 seconds later, Socrates led him up. "What do you want?" he asked again. "Wisdom," the man sputtered. "Oh great and wise Socrates." Socrates crunched him under again. 30 seconds passed. 35, 40. Socrates led him up. The man was gasping. "What do you want, young man?" Between heavy, heaving breaths, the fellow wheezed, "Knowledge, Oh, wise and wonderful. Socrates jammed him under again. 40 seconds passed. 50. What do you want? Air! The young man screeched. I need air. He said to him, when you want knowledge, as you have just wanted air, then you will have knowledge. I love to replace that word knowledge there with wisdom. Do we have such a craving and a desire that I want knowledge as badly as I would want air when I'm out of breath? The writer here, by way of a progression of wisdom, first of all begins with an appetite. An appetite. But this appetite is followed by advancement. Look at verse 5 as we continue on. It says, a wise man will hear and will do what? Increase learning. One of the great things about wisdom is that wisdom increases. Wisdom progresses. It's so important as individuals, as people, that we are not stagnant in our Christian walk. Amen? You ought to feel yourself growing in the Lord. That ought to happen. Just as a child, we can see that child physically growing in stature and gaining in height. In your Christian walk, you ought to feel yourself growing spiritually. That there are things that you previously struggled with and no longer are you struggling in the same way. Your decision-making process ought to mature, ought to grow as you grow in wisdom. The progression of wisdom begins with an appetite, but it continues with advancement. But then it moves on to what I call attainment. In verse 5, you look at that verse, it says, a wise man will hear, that's the appetite, and will increase learning, that's the advancement, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now, this word attaining is not in the natural context of just having something where that person says, well, I've arrived. As we just looked at, that's not the goal of wisdom. However, this attainment here is more of somewhat of a label or an understanding that that person is known as a wise person. Why? Because over a period of advancing, that person, because of the evidence that shows forth in their lives, has stringed together, as it were, a series of good decisions over a period of time. And because of that, you can look at that person and say, you know what? That's a wise person right there. That's a wise lady. That's a wise young man. That's a wise young woman. This person is not like the individual who makes a good decision today and makes a bad one tomorrow. Makes a good series of decisions this month, but next week makes decisions that are so contrary to the ones that they make last month. It's an issue of attaining to wisdom. It's being known for making wise decisions. You know, I don't know if you, well, I could tell you personally, there are certain people who I know in life that I can go to and I can be assured I will get wise counsel. You have to have individuals like that in your life. Because it's not because they are perfect people. But it's because they have understood wisdom. They've grown in wisdom such that they have attained to wisdom. There's an attainment. Some consistency in their lives. Some unity regarding their decision-making process. But notice the progression of wisdom continues with what I consider so important in wisdom, application. Look at verse number 6. It says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, to process information and come to the right conclusion. I'm always utterly amazed at how two people can look at the same situation, the same set of facts, the same occurrences, and somehow through their thought process come to completely different conclusions, looking at the same thing. You know, sometimes we run away with the false notion that all opinions are created equal. They are not. Opinions are only worth something if they are based in wisdom. You know, well, that's your opinion and that's my opinion. And all of opinions, they're just opinions. Well, the truth of the matter is, if the opinion is not based in wisdom, what is the use? And I guess, and if an opinion is based in wisdom, the opinion and the source of the opinion decreases in significance because it now has elevated itself from opinion to being wisdom. Amen? And so the progression of wisdom here is so interesting. It begins with an appetite. It advances. It gets to an attainment level, but there has to be application. And I tell you, this is one of the areas where, when it comes to, especially in our circles, we're very knowledgeable about the Word of God, maybe comparatively, and we pride ourselves as Baptists as being sound in doctrine and known knowledge of the Word of God. But one area where we are to grow and advance is in terms of applying the Bible to our very daily lives. Amen? Application. We know enough Bible to live correctly. We know enough Word of God to grow until Jesus comes again. What do we need to work on? Applying the Bible to our lives. Application. So important as it relates to wisdom. We see here tonight the prayer for wisdom, the progression for wisdom. But notice, thirdly, and so importantly, the provider of wisdom. Verse number 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's so important that, as it relates to wisdom, that we acknowledge the sovereign. God is the source of all wisdom. Amen? James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Doesn't that make it sound so very easy? I mean, if you, God is saying, if you don't have wisdom, all you have to do is ask me. So if somehow we don't have wisdom, who's to blame? Means we have not asked. God says, I'm going to give you freely. I'm going to give you liberally. Seems as though there are many people who probably wish that God had put that verse and says, if any of you lack money, ask of God, who shall give you liberally, and he won't hold back, just how much ever you want. You see, I get all the amens now. All the amens and the round of applause. And God says, if any of you lack wisdom, and you say, well, wisdom, me want money. God says, I'm going to give you something that will be even more beneficial to you. You know, there are many people who have gotten all the money in the world, but because they don't have wisdom, all the money go out the door. God says, if you had the wisdom, you'll understand how to keep the money. You got to acknowledge the sovereign. Acknowledge the sovereign. He's a provider of wisdom. But here's something very important. As it relates to acquiring wisdom, there has to be an approach of submission. The verse there in verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord. Recognizing him for who he is. No wonder we live in a world where wisdom is such a scarce commodity. Because if ever a time as today. We're living in a world where people do not fear God. It's as if I can shake my finger at God and we wonder, how come wisdom is so lacking? It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning. So if you have no fear of the Lord, wisdom is foreign to you. He's a provider of wisdom. But notice, fourthly, there's a prohibition regarding wisdom. Verse number 7 says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It says, here's a characteristic of a fool. He rejects wisdom. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And the writer here is saying, he says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know what he was saying? Remember, his emphasis here is wisdom. He's setting the table for the entire book saying, let wisdom be the principal thing. Let wisdom be the thing that you want with all your heart and mind and soul. And he's giving them a prohibition by saying to them simply, don't be a fool. That's what he's saying. He says it kind of implyingly. Because naturally, he expects the reader to say, or to come to the conclusion, boy, I don't want to be a fool, you know. So let me not despise wisdom. Let me love wisdom. Let me seek after wisdom with all my heart, because I do not want the label of a fool. You call somebody a fool, those are like fighting words. But I will submit to you, sadly, there are many educated fools in our world today. They have letters in front their names, behind their names, on top their names, and under their names, all over their names. But sadly, they are educated fools. Why? Because they have despised wisdom. They have rejected God. And the sad thing about being a fool is that a fool, and this is why he is a fool, is not aware that he is a fool. If you say, oh boy, I really don't understand this thing, you know what? You're not a fool. But if you walk around thinking that you are wise when you are not, sadly, you are a fool. And if a fool knew and understood the value of wisdom, he would not despise it. If we understood the value of wisdom, we would not reject it. He says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's a prohibition against wisdom. But notice, finally, the promotion from wisdom. Verse number 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they, speaking of wisdom, shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Here, Solomon uses some symbolism. Understand that he's a king. And a king wears a crown. A king is blessed with riches and abundance such that he can wear chains signifying his advancement to such a high status as a king. Solomon here is saying that if you have wisdom, wisdom will advance you. Wisdom will promote you. He says an ornament. It's symbolic of a crown, valuable jewelry. He says if you have wisdom, you will have something of prestige, something of worth applied to your life. You want to be promoted in life? Have wisdom. Acquire wisdom. He says, there shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. And I tell you, we're living in a world that is so devoid of wisdom, and it is sad in so many ways. And I trust that God will help us. And it's such a comforting thought to know that we don't have to lack wisdom, because it is available. It is accessible. And thank God, you don't have to buy it. So it is affordable. Amen? What is not affordable is actually living without wisdom. You know, wisdom can actually cost you. Not having wisdom can cost you. Can cost you more than money. Can cost you your very life. Can cost you your marriage. It can cost you your children. It can cost you so much. And let us not be in a situation where we are lacking wisdom when God has made it so readily available. And so over the next several weeks, let's really take this series to heart and these proverbs and really say, God, you let my heart be fertile soil for wisdom. Not just to acquire, not just to say I'm a wise person, but to impart it to others and to give what has been given to us via God's word, to see God's word deposited in lives so that a difference can be made for God's honor and for his glory.